Cinderella pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up, she's running like never before. There's a speed sign ahead on the right, but I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
This is John Johnson. Welcome to Johnson's Improbable History of Pop. Stagecoach West of Spokane is unique on several fronts. The core of the group has remained intact for nearly six decades, playing gigs as the Juggernauts while still college students at Gonzaga. The current lineup has been together for over 40 years, and that just doesn't happen in rock and roll. Now, maybe for the occasional polka band in Wisconsin or Minnesota, or a bluegrass group in Kentucky, or a string quartet somewhere, but top 40 pop and rock songs take sustained energy and intensity to perform night after night, which frequently takes a toll on relations between band members, with turnover in personnel a frequent side effect. So they've got that longevity thing down pat. Well, which would not mean much if they did not deliver the goods on stage, as we heard a few weeks ago when rhythm guitarist Pete Arthur, bass player Fritz Brockman, and keyboardist Randy Albright paid us an in-studio visit. And at the time, we promised a follow-up, and that's where we are this week. Part two of the Stagecoach West story. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Fritz.
Thank you, John. Nice to be back.
Thanks, Randy, and from Pete as well.
Thanks, John.
You bet. So we're hearing a little bit of Dave Dudley in a country western pop standard in the background, and I know that you played a lot of country gigs in your time. Tell us a bit about some of the famous, would you play this one on stage much?
Well, we do. It's still in the regular rotation. We do this every once in a while, and it has a country beat, and it's also a good dance beat that, you know, reminds us of the 60s dance songs too. So it's easy to dance to, and people enjoy that song.
I think it crossed over to top 40 at the time too. Okay. Something about that. Well, tell me a bit about Stagecoach West for those who might have missed the first episode. How did the band get started?
Well, we started, Fritz and I started in college. But before that, most of us had some kind of background in music. So Matt, our guitar player, was in a Ferris High School group called Concord Green, and then later on in a group called Cognac. Rick, who our drummer, comes from Sheridan, Wyoming, and his first band was Robin and the Hoods. And I think he was eight. And then he became a DJ later on in Sheridan. And the cool thing about Rick, one of the cool things, is the current set of Rogers drums that he uses on stage with us is a drum kit that he got in high school. And that's remarkable.
That is, yeah. Rogers were the ones that drummers preferred back then.
Yes, yes. Randy was in a really successful local group called the Mad Hatters, and they actually charted with a hit called
Little Girl in the Fourth Row.
Yes, and Randy sang lead on that.
Yeah. Which was recorded, the basic track at SRC, as I understand.
It certainly was, yeah.
Yeah, very nice one. And got a lot of local airplay.
It did. We were real proud of that, yeah.
And then I was in a surf band in high school, and then at Gonzaga in the Juggernauts, and now Stagecoach West. Fritz, or Jim, besides the Juggernauts, and Gonzaga was also in a really cool band in the late 60s called the Grundoon, and they traveled quite a bit.
We were actually based in Minneapolis for 1 year, and so we were doing original songs, and that was a lot of fun, but not really something that made money, so
yeah,
that just
yeah.
lasted the 1 year.
So did you ever play on stage with the Fender Men, for example?
No.
The duo who did Mule Skinner Blues, the big hit, the two-guitar duo, yeah. But you're in Minnesota, so then
near Burnsville, and we had a couple of local boys there that we made a connection with Gonzaga, and Mike Castaneda and his brother Chris, and so a few of us in Spokane went over there, and there were some great musicians in the group. We actually had a horn player and good guitarists and songwriters, and it was fun. We had a good time, But only got about three gigs and did a few free ones in the park and had the experience, but hardly enough gas money to get back to Spokane.
Well, how did you find each other at Gonzaga? Was it just happened to be in a jam session somewhere, or was it like a posting need bass player for group? Or
it was exactly like that. It was, of course, 1965 when we showed up there, and so music was pretty exciting for everyone our age, and some of the people in the dorms had guitar amps or starting to get amps and had electric guitars, and whoever they were would have a crowd in their dorm room at the evening and two or three people plugged into the amp and trying songs. This led to a specific little thing I wanted to mention was this was before the band, but we had a fellow in our dorm by name of Dan Jordan, I believe, who had the latest Fender guitar amp, which was that Showman that Dick Dale made famous, and he also had the add-on spring reverb that sat on top.
Yeah.
So he had that whole Dick Dale thing, and would play. And so we borrow an amp from somebody and would sit in with him, and learned about a half a dozen songs more or less. And one thing that happened that's sort of memorable is we got invited to a party somewhere on the South Hill to play music, and I don't know how many of us were underage, but we were making the neighbors nervous, and so after playing about an hour, the police showed up and came in to stop this disturbing the peace. We were all interviewed, and we had consumed quite a bit of beer, so they arrested us and brought us in to the police station, and we had to call the dean of students, which is
Father Greif.
Yeah, Greif at Gonzaga to come and bail us out, I think on his good word. And as luck would have it, we looked around for a lawyer that might represent the 12 of us, and we found this young lawyer who would do it for $50 total. His name was Carl Maxey. And of course, a very good lawyer. So,
very good, yes.
That's right. And he was well aware of the Miranda decision that had just happened. And so when we got to court, they found out that the police hadn't Mirandized us. And young miscreants as we were, we got off.
Well, speaking of miscreants, we've got a song also in the country vein that's going to get us started about some enterprising people in North Carolina and their battles with the law back there. So tell us a bit about Thunder Road.
Well, you know, we've always known this Robert Mitchum song. We all grew up noticing it and all liked it. And we just would sing it when we're tearing down equipment at the end, we try to remember all the words. So one day we decided, let's try to record it. And so we worked it out, and lo and behold, the people at the dances seemed to like it too. So they found a way to dance to it. So we do this, maybe once every month or two in our gigs and have fun with it.
Stagecoach West, our second visit.
Let me tell the story, I can tell it all, about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, Sonny drove the load, and when his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town, the revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they'd had him, his engine would explode, and he'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road. And there was thunder, thunder, over Thunder Road.
Thunder,
thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load. There was moonshine, moonshine, to quench the devil's thirst.
Thunder,
the law, they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. On the 1st of April, 1954, a federal man sent word he'd better make his run no more. He said 200 agents were covering the state. Whichever road he tried to take, they'd get him sure as fate. Son, his daddy told him, make this run your last. Your tank is filled with 100 proof, you're all tuned up and gassed.
town don't take any chances. If you can't get through, I'd rather have you back again than all that Mountain Dew. And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder
was his engine and white lightning was his load. There was moonshine, moonshine, quenched the devil's thirst. Thunder law, they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. Roaring out of Harlem, revving up his mill, he shot the gap at Cumberland and screamed by Maynardville. With teaming on his taillights, roadblocks up ahead, the mountain boy took roads that even angels fear to tread. Blazing right through Knoxville, out on Kingston Pike, then right outside of Bearden there they made the fatal strike. He left the road at 90, that's all there is to say. The devil got the moonshine and the mountain boy that day. There was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder
was his engine and white lightning was his load. There was moonshine, moonshine to quench the devil's thirst. The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. The law they never got him, 'cause the devil got him first.
Thunder, thunder, thunder.
Thunder Road, Robert Mitchum hit record from the late 1950s with our guest Stagecoach West. And that's one that has some real life meaning for some of you, I'd say.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. I know Fritz told the story of his being detained back at Gonzaga. But you also played a number of policemen's balls through the years?
That's correct, John. Yeah, the band played probably up maybe 10 years. And by the time I joined, I got in on the last couple of them. And it was one of those events that was held where all of the police in town seemed to be at the one event. And guests from Canada, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, came down here to let their hair down a little bit. They brought their pipers and their drummers. So mid-set, we might be singing a song, and they would crank it up and come marching in. And, of course, the crowd goes crazy, and that was a welcome introduction to our friends up north.
So. Very good. Did they BYOB?
Oh,
did
yeah.
they bring Moosehead with them? Or?
So, I'm sure there was some of that that went on, but
Royal Canadian.
Yeah, that's where they got the name. Yeah, Royal Canadian. Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter how big a PA system we had there at the Redpath Hotel. When the piper started, we were drowned out. The doors would open and they'd be all in a line and they'd march in.
In red coats.
Everything stopped, and we were just in awe of that wonderful sound.
And your notes here tell me that car clubs would schedule drag races for that night as well?
Correct. Because they knew the police were all
occupied. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise occupied.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
So division was hopping.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, they stored up for a year for that party and got the most out of it. We enjoyed watching them anyway. Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned your fondness for the Fender Reverb unit at the start. We've got another song coming up that's kind of in that surf music vein. Uses that reverb sound. What's coming up next? Surf and Safari.
Yeah, so I grew up as a surfer in the Hawaiian Islands, and my first music was surf music. And so we've always enjoyed doing some Beach Boys, which continue to go over every single time.
Do you still play this one?
Oh, yeah.
As we mentioned, you are an active band. You've played a number of gigs already this year.
I think we've had four in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. 13 days, four gigs.
And the Northside Eagles, Valley Eagles, and Barrister Winery downtown. Right. And when's the next one coming up after this show airs on Saturday?
Well, I think it's in a couple weeks. It's a Friday, the middle of the month at the Barrister.
No, it's first Friday.
First Friday of April.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yep. Stagecoach West going on a surfing safari.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Come on a safari with me.
Early in the morning we'll be starting now. Some honeys will be coming along. We're loaded up our woody with the boards inside, and we're heading out singing our song. Come on, babe, waiting to see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me. Come on, babe, wait and see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me. Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Huntington and Malibu, they're shooting the pier. Rincon, they're walking the nose. We're going on safari to the islands this year. If you're coming, get ready to go. Come on, babe, wait and see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me. Come on, babe, wait and see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me. Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. In Laguna and Zero Azul, they're kicking out in Doheny too. I tell you, surf with mighty wild, getting bigger every year, from Hawaii to the shores of Peru. Come on, babe, wait and see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me. Come on, babe, wait and see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing with me. Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Come a, come a down to be do down down. Come a, come a down to be do down down. Come a, come a down to be do down down. Breaking up is hard to. Hard to do. Remember when you held me tight and you kissed me all through the night. Think of all that we've been through, 'cause breaking up is hard to do. They say that breaking up is hard to do. Again, I beg of you, don't say goodbye. Can't we give our love another try? Come on, baby, let's start anew. 'Cause breaking up is hard to do.
Ring down, down.
Breaking up is hard to do. Stagecoach West, the old Neil Sedaka song. And Carole King may have been in there some way. I think I know Neil had a crush on Carole, didn't they, as teenagers back in Flatbush?
He did.
That was the story. He wrote that song, Oh Carole.
That's right. And he just turned 86.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. About 2 weeks ago or so. I saw that online. Of course, you can't always trust what's online, so no. He might only be 50.
Maybe. It's possible. So is that one that you play pretty regularly?
Yeah.
And people really enjoy dancing to that. It's a little different beat. It's a pleasant little song, and they feel the dance floor and go, oh, I haven't heard that for years.
Now, when you go out, do you have a set list when you go out for the show?
Every time.
Yeah. And do you pretty much stick to the routine, or do requests get in there?
Well, that's funny. We do a different set list every night so that we can recycle tunes and we don't get tired of them. And then we also bring new material in. And the joke is that we get the first two sets kind of to ourselves, sort of. And then, you know, about 80% through the night, then it's just all requests.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Instant requests. Yeah.
And you do play three sets a night.
Yes, we do.
Which is not necessarily the modern standard.
Usually we do. And our fans, they know that we know these songs. And so there's no good excuse or no acceptable excuse that for us not to do them. So we ended up doing it. And always in the last set, there's a few songs that we want to get in. And sometimes they get crowded out. But we do the request if we possibly
can. And we hear about it.
You do.
And now we're doing two sets at the Barrister, which is it's nice for us because we're done about 9 o'clock and can go home and go to bed. But, you know, it's 7 to 9, but it's the same thing that Fritz was just talking about. We'll do what we can throughout the evening, but in two sets you can't squeeze them all in.
Yeah. So, Randy, we've got one of yours coming up next where you take the vocal. Tell me a bit about My Maria.
Oh, well, My Maria is kind of a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, we've got BMW Blues.
Okay,
well, there we go.
I'm going to sing on that, too.
There we go.
I'm going to sing on that, too. This all came about with the invitation that we had to the BMW motorcycle gatherings, the rallies that they had. The first one we did was out here at the fairgrounds, and... apparently, we made some inroads and had some fans there that wanted us to continue on down the road and do it again. And as time went by, they invited us to travel to Gillette, Wyoming to do a national one. And I think, they have 8,000 people there for that one. And then we did another one that was down in Redmond, Oregon. Knowing that we were going to do those, the logical thing for us to do is to fool around with it a little bit. And we kind of rewrote a song that was made popular by Alan Jackson. He called it Mercury Blues. So we changed it up and called it the BMW Blues.
Did you have to bring along extra amplifiers for that?
No, you know.
With 8,000 people.
Well, you know, a BMW motorcycle rally is a lot quieter than a Harley-Davidson one.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And it really is.
And it was kind of broken into segments, too. Not everybody. They may have had 8,000 attendants, but, you know, I'm not sure how many actually showed up for when we were playing.
Although they always had professional sound people.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah, okay. Big stages. And.
In fact, the show at Redmond, the sound guy was late because he had done Steve Miller the night before in Portland.
Oh, how about that?
So, yeah, very the good. Big time stuff. It was really fun.
Stagecoach West, BMW Blues.
He stole her back again. He had a BMW. Oh, she loves his BMW. I'm gonna buy a BMW and cruise it up and down the road. Let's
BMW. I'm gonna get BMW. I'm gonna buy BMW and cruise it up and down the road. Come cruising home, she loves that BMW. Yeah, she's crazy about a touring bike. I'm gonna buy a BMW, I'll cruise it up and down the road. I'd go downtown, buy a BMW. I love a BMW. Gonna get a BMW. I'm gonna buy a BMW and cruise it up and down the road. I'm gonna buy a BMW, I'll cruise it up and down the road. Yeah, I'm gonna buy a BMW, I'll cruise it up and down the road.
Bit of a special Stagecoach West arrangement, BMW Blues, and a nice little fade effect on that one.
I think that was an actual BMW motorcycle recording I found somewhere, and we tacked it on the end.
Very good. And as you mentioned, you played shows for motorcycle groups, but not with Harleys in the background. BMWs.
BMWs, nice and quiet. That's right.
Less beer bottles thrown towards the stage, hopefully.
Yeah, we haven't ever needed the chicken wire guard. or have we? There have been a couple places.
Yeah. Well, we do play both kinds of music, country and Western. That's what they pointed out in the Blues Brothers. Right. So.
Country, yeah. Well, actually, there is a difference. Western, you played some of those samples for us last time with the Sons of the Pioneers.
Sure.
Wonderful version of Tumbling Tumbleweeds.
Yep. Yeah.
Very nice. Well, we're going to have a little change of pace now. Going to slow the tempo down just a bit.
Yeah. You know, speaking of songs that are in other genres, we've always enjoyed trying songs that are not the usual fare for the country bands or for pop bands. I suppose it's one of the things that makes this band fun to be in and maybe something to do with why it's lasted as long as it has. We do try a lot of other styles of music, and we see if we can do it well, and if people like it, then we keep it in. So it was in the 90s we were playing for a dance for at Gonzaga University, and there was a dance club there, and the advisor for the dance club is a woman named Harriet Camp. And Harriet also, she taught ballroom dancing, I think, for Gonzaga part-time, and she taught it at Spokane Falls Community College for many years. And there's lots of people in Spokane who learned to do ballroom dancing with Harriet Camp. So she was an interesting and, I might say, frightening lady. She was a force of nature. And she, after that dance at the Gonzaga, she came up and said, well, we might be able to play for her dance group. However, she'd have to see the song list, and it would have to be just right. And so we said, well, we're interested. What is it? And she explained this ballroom dancing business that she was in. And so I met her at her house for a couple of sessions. She would play CDs. Now, this was the right tempo for, you know, whatever it was. I mean, there were waltzes and cha-chas and tangos and things like that. And she had this sort of a definite beat that they had to be. So we thought, well, this would be fun. And we spent quite a bit of time learning, adapting some of our songs, learning some other ones, so that we could play a cha-cha and a rumba and a tango and not do waltzes too fast and all those things. So we, you know, there's East Coast swing, West Coast swing. There's lots of things very important to dancers. So she wanted to micromanage us. At the first dance, she was micromanaging everything, wanted to see the song list, wanted all these things. But she liked us. And from then on, we did a whole series of things for her. And when we'd show up, we'd say, "Well, anything special?" And she says, "No, just do whatever you boys would like." I mean, it was
really
like
fun.
Yeah. So and she became a good friend, she passed away a few years ago, and we miss her. But everybody that's ever come in contact with her remembers her, and we've got a number of the dancers from her dance clubs or her dance schools that show up at our gigs all the time, and they want to hear a rumba, they want to hear a tango, they want a fast waltz or a Vienna waltz, and so we could accommodate them. So it's part of the fun. Yeah. So this next song actually is the Louis Armstrong song. I'll let Pete introduce it so he's singing it.
Yeah. So our favorite story about Louis Armstrong is the lady that came up to him before the show and said, "Well, what kind of music do you play?" And he said, "Well, ma'am, there's only two kinds. There's good music, and there's the other kind. We play good music." And we just consider this next song to be an absolute masterpiece.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you." I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Thank you. so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
Stagecoach West, a wonderful version of the Louis Armstrong song, and I guess we'd call that one a slow dance favorite, or a smoocher, I guess would be another phrase for that.
Yes.
But we're going to pick up the tempo next.
Yeah, this is going to feature our guitar player, Matt, who just whenever Matt is in the studio with us, when he lays down a lead vocal, it just works every time. Some of us have to work way harder. And for Matt, it just kind of comes easily. And this is an old Sir Douglas Quintet song that we've enjoyed doing over the years. And it features some of our humor. Because one of the compliments that we get often on during our shows is how much fun we have on stage. And it's never contrived. It's never an act. It's just the real thing. And there's a bunch of that in this.
And it's never rehearsed.
So, no, never rehearsed.
Which you can tell from time to time.
That's right.
Well, yeah. So here's Matt with a thing called She's About a Mover.
She was walking down the street, looking fine as she could be. Hey, hey. Well, she was walking down the street, looking fine as she could be. Hey, hey. Well, you know I love you, baby. Whoa, yeah, baby, what I say.
What I say.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
The Stagecoach West rearrangement of the old Sir Douglas Quintet hit, She's About a Mover. And some nice vocal asides were added on that one. Who was that second voice?
She's About a Mover.
That'll be Fritz.
Dr. Jim.
It was all of us. But
yeah.
Adding, okay. Very good. So that is one that has stayed in the repertoire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they all stay.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, we might not be doing as many old Westerns as we used to. The people that really love those are now in their 90s, you know, and we don't see them as often. So,
yeah. But there has been kind of a gradual change then in content.
Yeah.
Introducing new songs. What's just out of nowhere, what's the last new song introduced to the band?
Well, okay. New for us or
new for us, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do we... Oh, it was North to Alaska, probably.
Yeah, North there to we go.
Okay.
How about that? That tells you something.
Well, you did okay on the pop quiz.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So speaking of old songs, we've got one here, Johnny Cash, to play for you, and it brings up a number of stories of the early days again. You know, Pete and I started with two other fellows named John Keogh and Bob Barzee. In a band called Country Air in the 70s, and they already had a kind of an established circuit, and the kind of what we would call the rodeo circuit. And times were different in those days. A lot of wild gigs in towns like Bonner's Ferry, Addy, Mullen, Creston, Trail. We often played in a basement, and we were standing in at least a quarter inch of beer. And you know, you worry about that with an electric guitar in your hand. And I'm not exaggerating.
That was a danger then because a grounding would electrocute musicians.
Absolutely.
In that era.
Yeah, there's a number of times when I would come up to the mic and the mic would be grounded differently. So if your lips touched the mic, you got 130 volts right through your brain, which at some point in the night didn't matter a lot, but sometimes it would. So there's a couple things that we were remembering. You know, we're playing at the Mint Club in Bonner's Ferry. It was a song like this, the one you're going to hear. And I looked over, and we had these pretty good-sized speakers that were sort of like the Voice of Theater speakers that had a cavity in the bottom where the bass came out. And I looked over there, and there were a couple minors enjoying the music. One of them had a hard hat on. He was passed out with his head in the speaker as we were singing. And his friend, not missing a beat, had some sort of a crescent wrench and was keeping time by beating on his passed out friend's helmet as the guy was laying in the speaker.
And that's going to hurt in the morning.
Yeah, it's going to hurt in the morning, but by golly, it was just right. And they probably went back and said, that was a great evening. We remember in playing in Wilbur, and there was a big crowd, and it was a cowboy crowd. There were so many people in the hall that we actually had to hand our equipment in through the window behind the stage because we couldn't get in the front door. So we did get set up, and so later we sent Matt across this crowd, and it took you a while to get through this crowd. You had to elbow your way through to get beer from the other side. And so on the way back, you know, Matt was bringing these beers, and he was holding them above his head because it was so hard to get through the crowd. And he had a funny look on his face when he got back to us. We said, what happened? And we found out in the middle of that traverse, he was groped. And he couldn't see who it was. And he couldn't let go of the beer, so he just had to work his way back to us. But you know, it was the cowboys were having fun, and who knew what these guys were from Spokane? Yeah,
one of many, many, many stories.
Yeah. That's right.
Which leads us to that Ring of Fire.
Is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. Well, I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went taste of love is sweet. When hearts like ours meet, I feel for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. Well, I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 that ring of fire.
We all know what that song was, Stagecoach West. And Randy, you've got a story about the originator Johnny Cash on that.
Well, I just happened to think about it while we were chatting here, John. At one point in my life, after I got out of the service, I joined the Spokane Police Department in late 1970. And one of my off-duty hours, I was brought into the old Coliseum in uniform to be backstage during a Johnny Cash concert. They came off their tour bus and through the backstage door, and Johnny walked up to me and said, "Thank you for being here, officer. I appreciate that." And, of course, at that point, I shook hands with June and with Mother Maybelle, and they're all very happy. They have a child with them. And I turned around and looked back at Johnny Cash. And he was half again my size, huge man. His hands were twice my size. And I'm thinking to myself, now, they label this as a bodyguard duty, but this guy could pick me up and carry me away.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
And were you paid overtime for that, or was it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I actually got paid. It was extra duty, and it was kind of fun to do.
I'll bet.
And then, yeah. It's one of those stories that they stick with you.
Now, as a band, you guys played the so-called Boone Barn back then, the Coliseum at mm-hmm. some point?
Yeah. Because the sound would go all the way down to the horseshoe and come back about 3 seconds later. And so it was hard to keep track of where you were in the song, because of the delay.
Oh, okay. So it was an onstage problem if you're trying to hear yourself.
Yeah. It was confusing.
Confusing. Very good. Well, what do we have coming up next?
Well, that's a good question.
That's right. Well,
I want Randy to tell the story about when his bus was having gas problems coming out of Montana.
Yes.
I want to make sure we get this in. It's a short little story that it's worth listening to.
One of those stories, like I said here a moment ago, it's one of those you don't forget. I was on my way back with band members in the Mad Hatters, and this was a kind of a recycling of the Mad Hatters, but we had a 1956 Dodge school bus, and we were working for Billy Tipton at the time, and he had booked us into Minot, North Dakota. Long story short, we finished our gig in the middle of the night, packed up all of our equipment, got in a bus, and we start driving back towards Spokane. The fuel pump went out on our 56 Dodge school bus. As luck would have it, we had a 5-gallon can of gas in the very back end of the bus just in case of an emergency, which this proved to be. So in the dark, we opened the, I guess you call them a butterfly hood on the front of the bus. One of the guys got out, put his feet in the wheel well. One of the guys had the 5-gallon can of gas, and he was pouring small amounts of gas into a can. And it was either a soup can or a Coke can. Standing in the doorway and handing the can of gas out to the guy on the fender of the bus, who would pour it into the carburetor. The bus would chug along. We go, chug, 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 chug. And another can of gas would be handed out to him. And we go, chug, 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 chug. And we did this for miles and miles and miles all through the night, trying to get to the next town.
And he's still here today to talk about it, which is the amazing thing.
We lived. We lived. Yeah. Obviously, somebody could have fallen out of the doorway or out of the engine well, and we could have all been asphyxiated with gas fumes, but we made it.
Yeah, not the place to be stranded, eastern Montana.
That's it. That's it.
Well, we've got My Maria scheduled up next. Another one of yours, Randy?
That's mine. Yes. That is mine.
Don't you know I've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she takes my blues away. Sweet Maria, the sunlight surely hurts my eyes. I'm a lonely dreamer on the highway in the sky.
Stagecoach West and their version of a B.W. Stevenson song, kind of a one-hit wonder, My Maria, but a nice one, wonderful arrangement of a gentleman. Thank you. Time's starting to get away from us. What do we have scheduled next?
Well, before we finish, John, I just want to mention our drummer, Rick Westrick, who has been one of the most versatile and prolific drummers in the Northwest for many, many years, and he works so hard at getting our tempos right. And then he's the glue. He holds us together on stage when one of us forgets if we're supposed to be going into a break or a you know, a chorus or something, and he has these wonderful fills. And on these recordings, there's just some great chops and licks that he throws in that are just remarkable. And we also want to thank you, John, for having us back on. It's greatly appreciated. Your knowledge of the local music and the national music is just remarkable.
And you're fun to talk to, so it's been nice sitting here in your office between these songs, too, and getting to know you a little bit. Joy.
Well, thank you so much, and you've been a wonderful group to work with, and we hope to have you back here towards the end of the year. Part three on the ongoing Stagecoach West story, appearing soon at Barrister Winery.
That's right.
Well, we look forward to that, John. Thanks so much.
So let's wrap it up. You mentioned your drummer, and he's going to get his say here on this one. Stagecoach West.
Come on, baby, let's do the twist. Come on, baby, let's do the twist. Take me by a little hand and go like this. Come on and twist on it just like this.
Stagecoach West from Spokane.
Yeah, you should see my little sis. She knows.